Well, I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. I'm going to continue on in this little discipleship theme. It's been a really good study I've been going through, and so until I feel led differently, I'm going to keep sharing what I've been studying and going through, and I hope it's a blessing to y'all as well. So Matthew chapter 4 is where we're going to be at here tonight, Matthew 4, and verses 18 through 22. Matthew chapter 4. Verses 18 through 22. And so, man, I feel terrible. I neglected to do it this morning, so please forgive me. But at this time, I'd like to ask you to please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. And we'll read here Matthew chapter 4 and verses 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Amen. There you go, Brother Jerry. Verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So tonight, this message, I've entitled it simply, All In. All In. Jesus is calling, are you all in? So may God bless the reading of his word as you're seated here tonight, and we'll get into the message. So looking at some of the characters we see here in our text tonight, we see the what will soon become the Apostle Peter. We see Peter here, and he wrote two books of the Bible. He preached, and over 3,000 people were saved at one time. We see the Apostle John. He wrote five books of the Bible. He even called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was the one who saw the visions of God in the book of Revelation. James, along with Peter and John, were part of Jesus' inner circle. They were the ones closest to him, and they were the ones there on the Mount Transfiguration when they saw Jesus glorified of the Father. And Andrew, my favorite apostle for no reason at all, is known for bringing people to Jesus. Just about every time you see Andrew mentioned in Scripture, he is bringing somebody to Jesus. We find him going to his brother, Simon Peter, saying, Hey, we have found the Messiah. Come with me. I'll show you him. And he brings Peter to Jesus. We see in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, who was it that brought that little boy with his two loaves and five fishes, two fishes and five loaves to Jesus? Well, it was Andrew. Andrew was the one who brought that little boy to Jesus. And so that is what we know Andrew to be mostly about. And so we read a little bit about their origin story, what they were before they followed Christ. And all of these men turned out to be great men of God who ended up turning the world upside down for the cause of Christ. The world still hasn't recovered from the ministry of these men. So where did these great men get started? What made these men so great? What made them great was that one day, along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, sitting in some little boats, they made a commitment to follow Jesus. That was what made them great. Before that, they were just fishermen. Hardworking men, for sure. Nothing to write home about, nothing great. It was their commitment to follow Jesus that day is what made them great. There are potentially some great people here today. They just need to make the same commitments that Peter, John, James, and Andrew made. There are also some here who have committed it all to Christ, and God is doing some amazing things through them. And so last week, we talked about what is a Christian. That was the Sunday morning message last week. And a Christian, if you recall, is someone who hears the good news of Jesus Christ, someone that believes this good news, and someone who then turns to the Lord from the direction they're going, they turn to Christ, and they experience the grace of God. And then that person becomes a disciple. And then last Sunday evening, we built on that a little bit, and we talked about, well, what is a disciple? We defined a little bit of that. And if you recall, and if you remember, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. And I'm not, if you remember, I'm just going to do it again because I had fun doing it last week. Jesus, if you recall, is walking in front of me. And if you're just walking behind him, you're not exactly following. If Jesus is saying, follow me, and he's doing something like this, and then you're walking behind him just doing nothing. A true follower is like, follow the leader. The leader's doing this, so you're going to do this too. I used the illustration of marching the kids from their classroom to go to the outside time during vacation Bible school. I'm like, all right, kids, it's time to go outside. Follow me. Walk this way. And I'd walk, do something crazy, walk like a monkey. And I'd look behind me, and half of them would be doing it. And then I'd admonish them. Come on, kids, follow the leader. And then they instantly get into it. And then we just had a hoop going all down the hallway. That's what it means to follow Christ. You're not just walking behind, but you're actually doing what he's doing. You're mimicking. A disciple is someone who denies themselves and makes Jesus their number one priority. That's what self-deny yourself means, to just reprioritize. Make yourself lower. Make Jesus number one. It's someone who is totally committed to Jesus and his call on them in their life. And it's someone who does what Jesus calls them to do, and they are who Jesus calls them to be. So today, I want us to see the beginnings of discipleship up close, almost in person. Let's do a case study, if you will, on the first four major disciples we see here in Scripture, and then see how we can take that and apply it to ourselves today. So we're going to be looking at James, John, Peter, and Andrew here from Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to watch and look at the steps that they took to become the great men of God that they were, the disciples of Jesus Christ. So we see the very first step in being a disciple. This is deep, so I hope you have your notepads out. Get ready to take this down because you can't miss this. If you miss this step, you've missed it all, okay? So the very first step in being a disciple is simply this, being called. You got to be called first. Jesus has to call you to come and follow me. Look at verse 19. And Jesus saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then in verse 21, it ended with, and he called them. So being called is the very first step. The disciples, they were just going about their normal day. They were out fishing. They were out mending their nets. They were not religious leaders. They were not experts of the law. They were not the Pharisees or anything like that. They were fishermen. They were rough, uneducated, stinky, smelly fishermen. And Miss Jeannie, I'm sure you can verify that fishermen are not smell good people. Yes, they smell like money. Yeah, that reminds me, out in West Texas, you either smell oil or cow manure, and either one smells like money. Just ask somebody who lives there. I know for a fact that if you live there long enough, you don't smell it anymore. You become immune to it. Anyway, so that's who the disciples were when they got started. But Jesus, he saw something different in them. He knew what they would become. So Jesus simply said, follow me. Follow me. Jesus can use anybody that will answer his call. Anybody. And I am so thankful for that. Jesus can use anyone who is totally committed to him. Heeding the call would change their lives forever. They had no idea what lay ahead of them. I'm convinced, I know this. I'm convinced that if God were somehow to show me what my life would look like at the very end, and then everything I had to go through to get there, I'm pretty positive I might have just said, Lord, I'm good. No thanks.
Because think of all the trials. Think of all the hardships that Peter had to endure. Think of all the times that he let the Son of God down personally and how that devastated him deep inside. I know we're not talking about him tonight, but think about the Apostle Paul and everything he endured for the cause of Christ. If you would have known that ahead of time, what are the odds of someone being all in? Maybe they'd go along, but would they be all in? As soon as they were called, they saw Jesus healing. They heard him preaching. And over just a few years, they would be the leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ. Amazing. They would be the instruments of God spreading the gospel around the world. These fishermen. They were just fishermen, and soon they would be the hands and feet of God of all creation. We may be living our everyday monotonous lives. Let's be honest. Sometimes life feels like it's a spin cycle, right? You go to work. You get up, you go to work, come home, go to bed. You wake up, you go to work, you come home, you go to bed. You wake up, you get the picture. It's just over and over. Every day is the same. There were times on the ship I didn't even know what day it was, because literally every single day was the exact same. I had no idea how much time had passed. I had no clue what day it was. The only way I knew it was a Sunday was when the watch bill said free time. That was the only indication I had. Oh, wait, today must be Sunday. It's just every day was the same. And we can get wrapped up in that. You might be thinking, I'm not a church leader. Maybe you're thinking, like, I don't know the difference between Malachi and Nahum. But if you're a Christian, Jesus sees something in you. Jesus sees potential in your life. He didn't just save you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has called you into his service, and this is not the secret service. He has called you into his service. He has called you to follow me, to follow him. He's called you to a total commitment. Heeding the call, I'm going to warn you, it will change your life forever. It will. Making a total commitment to Jesus Christ will change your life forever. Your life will never be the same. This will sound terrible, but you'll actually have purpose in life. You'll have a reason to get up. You'll have a reason to live and do something. You'll have a reason to get up every morning. You'll be in for the adventure of your life. Only Jesus knows what the future holds for you. So step one in becoming a disciple is being called. And remember, if you're a Christian, if you are a believer, you have been called. There it is. You got saved, you're called. And if you're not a Christian yet, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, well, maybe you're starting to hear the call right now, saying, hey, follow me. Come follow me. That's step one, being called. Step two, we see here in our text, is putting down our nets. Putting down our nets. In verse 20, it said this, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Their nets were the tools of their trade. That's how they made a living. Their lives depended on those nets catching fish. When Jesus walked up, some were using them and others were repairing them. And without those nets, their present and future lives were out of their hands. They were in control of it by having those nets. If they laid those nets down, their faith would no longer rest in their own abilities. The moment they laid those nets down, they essentially were saying, okay, Lord, I'm letting go control of my life, and I'm going to let you take control, Lord. You tell me what to do. You direct, I'll follow. That's what they were doing when they laid down their nets. Their faith would be in the one who called them. They had a choice to make. They'd heard the call. Unmistakably, he's standing right there. They were not hard of hearing. Follow me. and I will make you fishers of men. They heard the call, and they were willing to let go of their lives to follow Jesus. They placed their faith in Jesus. I mean, think about the significance of that decision. We don't know how many of them, but we know for sure at least Peter had a family, at least a wife. We don't know if he had any kids, but we know he at least had a wife. How do we know he had a wife? Well, the Bible says he had a mother-in-law. Last time I checked, you can't have a mother-in-law without a wife. Yeah. So, we know Peter had a wife, and here he was, holding in his hands his family's future. If I let go of these nets, how will I provide an income for my family? If I lay down these nets, how will I secure my family's future? But I know the one who is calling me is the Messiah, the Son of God. And he is calling me personally and telling me, hey, lay down your net. Come, follow me. The faith that Peter had, all of them, to lay down that net, that is real faith. What are you trusting in to get you through life? People today have their own nets, their jobs, their wealth, their ability, their strength, their health. People like to think that they're strong enough and tough enough to get through life on their own. I can do this. Just kind of grin and bear it. Our culture today even praises those independent spirits, you know, the ones who march to the beat of a different drum. Those are the ones our culture lifts up and exalts. Many people live this way, but what do they have in the end to show for it? We were born into this world empty-handed. We're going to leave empty-handed. Brought nothing into this world. We sure ain't taking nothing out with us when we die. When you lay down those nets, your faith no longer rests in your hands. When you hear the call, you have a choice to make. The committed let go of their lives to follow Jesus in the future. The committed lay down their lives for Jesus. They place their faith, they place their lives, and everything they have in Jesus Christ. It's like, well, going all in. You're holding nothing back. You're risking everything. You're saying, Lord, I believe, forgive me, Lord, perhaps. I hate using a gambling analogy, but basically, Lord, you're a sure bet. I'm going all in for you, Lord. They put it all on the table. They let it all go. Will you lay down your nets? Will you go all in for Jesus Christ and follow him and follow his path for you? So that was step two. Step one, be called. Step two, lay down your nets. But step three, this kind of goes hand in hand with step two. Step two is pointless if you don't do step three. Get out of the boat. You can lay down your net, but if you don't get out of the boat, well, you're going to be really hungry, or you're going to reach down and pick your net back up. So step three is get out of the boat. Verse 22 said this, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now that the disciples had laid down their nets, there was just one more step. They had laid down their nets and placed their faith in the one who had called them. But that faith was not real until it was acted on. Remember, if they just dropped the nets but didn't get out of the boat, they just reached right back down, picked their nets right back up. Their faith wasn't real until they actually acted on the faith. They could claim faith in Jesus, but until they got out of that boat, it was all just talk. Were they going to be hearers, or were they going to be doers? It's one thing to lay down their nets. It was another thing to put feet to their faith and get out of that boat. Well, we saw the decision they made. They made the decision to get out of that boat and follow Jesus. They moved forward with Jesus and they didn't look back. Faith has another step. We can't follow Jesus until we get out of our own boat. It's nice to hear people say that they have faith in God. I love that. Talking with people, they're like, oh yeah, I love the Lord. I'm a believer. It's encouraging, especially when you're out door knocking. You open up a door. Hi, I'm Andrew from Centralia Bible Baptist Church. Get off my porch. Slam. Okay, next one. Open up the door. No, not interested. Just keep going. And then finally, you knock on the door. Someone opens up. They're like, oh, I'm so glad you're out doing what you're doing. Yeah, I love the Lord too. Yes, Jesus, me and him, we go way back. I love Jesus. Like, oh, all right, well, what church do you go to? You plugged in anywhere? Oh, no, I haven't gone to church in years. I just worship him in my heart. Ah, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Get plugged in somewhere. Do something with your faith. Don't just sit in your house and be thankful when someone meanders by, knocks on your door, and talks about Jesus. Do something with your faith. I love meeting those people, but at the same time, I get so frustrated. It's just like, oh, you're so close. Was it Festus? Or who was it that Paul was talking to? And he said, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. He was so close, but just wasn't willing to go all in. It's nice to see people at church every once in a while. You know, it's encouraging for me to look around and I see people out here. Thank you. It's an encouragement. I love seeing people out in the pews. I remember for a while during the COVID time, that was weird, preaching to like empty seats. That was awkward. Didn't like it one bit. So I'm thankful to see people out here. But their faith is not real until it affects every facet of their lives. There are so many Christians out there today that just haven't gotten out of the boat. And they're saved. They're born again. I'm not trying to say they're not. But how real is that faith if they're not getting out of the boat and doing something either? What would our families look like if Christians acted on their faith and followed Jesus? You know, like the Bible actually talks about. What would our country look like if Christians acted on their faith and followed Jesus Christ? Hey, what would our church look like if Christians acted on their faith and followed Jesus Christ? Man, we could turn this city upside down. I want to make it clear, I'm not saying this as an indictment. I'm not saying this is not the case here. We need to get our acts together. I'm just saying if we all got on board, there are people on board, and I praise God for that. But I also know there are some that are holding back. They have their reasons, but they're holding back. And I'm just wondering, what could this church look like? What could this town look like if everybody just, you know what, Christ? We're all in. We're not holding back anymore. Pedal to the metal, Lord. Let's do this thing. Let's do this your way. I only wonder what this church, what this city, what our town would look like. But sometime later, going back to our text, Jesus came walking on the water. Remember that account? There's a storm going on. Jesus had sent the apostles ahead in the boat. The storm comes up. They're terrified. They're thinking, we're going to sink. We're going to die in this storm. And what in the world is that? They're looking. It's like, is that a ghost? There's somebody walking on the water out there. Jesus, he comes walking to them out on the water. And what happened? Peter. Oh, I love Peter. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come out to you. Jesus said, come on, brother. I'm paraphrasing. That's the Pastor Andrew version. The PAV. The PAV, yep. And so Peter, what's he do? Puts feet to his faith. He gets out of the boat. He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come out to thee. And Jesus said, come on, Peter, come on out. Okay. But if he never got out of the boat, how real was his faith? So Peter, he got out of the boat while everybody else stayed back and commentated. The peanut gallery there in the back. We've got a lot of armchair Christians who sit back and talk about others, but they won't get out of the boat themselves. We need some Christians who will risk it all to follow Christ. How else are we going to get missionaries into some of these countries that are so closed and so dark? It's going to take somebody who's all in. Somebody who's willing to say, Lord, I could die doing this, but I know this is the call you have placed on my life, and I'm going to do it, Lord, even if I die in the process. That is someone who is all in. That is somebody that God will use in a mighty way. Who knows? We could have a future missionary sitting in this room right now to go to one of the darkest places in the world. Like think of like an Iran or a China or a Iraq, some of these countries that are very close off to Christianity. Who knows? Maybe one of you right now, future missionary. All it takes is to be all in. Jesus gave himself to death to buy you. Does that mean anything to us at all? If we think about that, this was a humbling thought for me. Jesus literally died to buy me, to pay for my debt. So how I'm living my life, does that make his purchase worth it? Is he getting a good return on value, return on investment? It's like, wow, Lord. Well, I definitely know I could do better. I think we could all say the same thing. But it's when we have that thought in our mind that helps us to start living better. We're conscious about it. We're aware of it. If he made that sacrifice for us, why is it so hard for us to make sacrifices for him? Lord, you mean I can't talk like that anymore? Or I shouldn't? Lord, you mean I have to deny some of the things that I enjoy doing? He just gave his life for you. Is it too much to ask for something in return? We have moved forward with Jesus, and we are not to look back. Don't look back at what you've given up for Christ. Don't look back at what you may have lost. Keep looking forward. I use this illustration with the teens on Friday. This gentleman, he was talking about how Satan would tell lies, basically, and he said, you know, I felt like Satan was telling me that if I became a Christian, I would lose my friends. Well, that was the one time Satan wasn't lying. I did lose my friends. But what he neglected to tell me was that I would gain new friends who are way better than my old ones. Don't look at what you've lost. Don't look at what you've given up to follow Christ. Keep pressing forward. Keep your eyes on him. Follow him. And anything you've lost, you won't miss it. In fact, what did the Apostle Paul say? All that I've lost, all that I've gained, I count but loss. Everything is worth following Christ. So step three, get out of the boat. Step four, walk with him. Walk with Christ. Verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. When they got out of the boat, they did not hesitate to follow Jesus. Immediately, the word says. They followed him everywhere he went. Their physical closeness influenced their spiritual closeness with Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? The times that you're most involved with your Bible reading, the times you're most faithful with it, the times you're most faithful with your prayer life, and taking time to really just get alone with God, those are the times that you feel closest to God. There's no coincidence there. That's by design. That's on purpose. And you've also, I'm sure you've noticed, the times that you haven't been in your Bible and you haven't been praying, you've just felt distant from God, like there's a barrier or something, and you don't feel like your prayers are being heard or maybe at least not answered.
Well, there's a direct correlation, a direct relationship between how close we place ourselves spiritually, physically to God through Bible reading and prayer and study to God, being close to God spiritually. They became more and more like the one they were following. The exact same principle for us. They made the commitment to follow Jesus, and their lives were never the same. They became fishers of men. How about that? Jesus kept his promise. No surprise there. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's exactly what they became. Their responsibility was to follow Jesus. Jesus' responsibility was to make them fishers of men. You see, sometimes we get it backwards. We think it's our responsibility to become the fishers of men. So we start studying books and watching videos on evangelism, how we become better evangelists and things like that. And those are good things. It's good to study and try to hone your skills to be a more effective communicator of the gospel. So I'm not trying to knock that. But at the same time, there's a danger to us thinking it's on us. It's our responsibility to make sure we are better evangelists, when in all reality, Jesus never said that. Jesus said, follow me. Just follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So if you want to be a better soul winner, if you want to be a better evangelist of the gospel, hey, brother, hey, sister, just follow Christ. Just follow Christ. Look at what he says, and then do it. That is how you become an awesome soul winner. That's how you can lead people to Christ. And half the time, it's not even through what you say. It's through them observing your life. People looking at you and saying, wow, there is something different about that. There's something special with them. And you know what? I kind of wish I had that in my own life. That comes only by following Jesus Christ. They were never without Jesus again. They followed Jesus. And that is the definition of disciple. So why do we hesitate to fully follow the Lord? What's holding us back? What's standing in the way from you saying, all right, Lord, I get it. I understand. Okay, I'm ready. I'm all in. What's holding you back? What is keeping you from doing that? If we will fully commit to him, our lives will never be the same. That sounds scary. I know that. Do you think Jesus is trying to trick you? Do you think Jesus is trying to pull something shady behind the scenes? Do you think he's going to just dump you along the way somewhere as you're following him? You will never have a full life of satisfaction apart from following Jesus. Friends, that is the sure bet. That is the guaranteed way to have a life of satisfaction. It is by following Jesus Christ. He has great plans for you, but you've got to lay down your nets and you've got to get out of the boat. So I'm going to challenge you to throw your lives into the call of Jesus on your life. If you're saved, he has a call on your life. And so the challenge for you tonight is to do this. Throw yourselves into that call. Go all in. Hold nothing back. Say, God, you've got all of me. 100%. I'm giving it all to you. We can become fishers of men. We can introduce others to our Lord. We can enjoy seeing the work of the Lord in others' lives. We can make a difference with our lives. We will have Jesus with us forever. If you are saved, the Holy Spirit is living inside you right this very moment. You have been sealed unto the day of redemption. Born again, forever in the hands of God. And then, when we are redeemed, glorified bodies, it's not going to be a spiritual connection, a spiritual presence. It's going to be a physical one. We will be with our Lord in person. Oh, I can't wait for that day. We would have never heard of these men if they stayed in the boat. They would have worked hard, sweated, made money, gotten really stinky, and then died in obscurity. But now, we call them disciples. Now, we study them to see how we too can have what they had. Do you want to work hard, sweat, make money, and in the end die and have nothing to show for it? Or do you want to work hard, sweat, and make a difference for all of eternity? Jesus is calling you to get out of the boat. Jesus is calling you to follow him. He is calling you to be a disciple. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much. Lord, I thank you that you have called us. Lord, I thank you that you have called me, given me the opportunity, Lord, to make a difference with my life. Father, I know that you want to do the same with each and every person here. Lord, what a joy it is to be a servant of you. What a joy it is, Lord, to know that by following you, by serving you, Lord, the treasures in heaven are just mounting up. Help us, Lord, to be true disciples of you. I'm thankful for each and every person, Lord, here that has taken the time in their lives to serve you in various different ways. And Lord, I commend them to you. But Lord, I also know that there are others who can do more, who I think want to do more even. But Lord, for whatever reason, something's been holding them back. So I pray, Father, that you take that obstacle, remove it from them. Whatever it is that's causing them to not be all in, Lord, that you would deal with that once and for all. And then, Lord, give them all the courage. Give us all the courage to be all in, to give you 100% of us, Lord. And then, God, I pray that you just do something amazing with this church, with our families, with our town. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.